So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. It's time again for the TNT radio show, Tuesday Night Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. It's Tuesday, June the 17th, and it is hotter than hell here in Louisville, Kentucky, where we do this show. I want to thank Al Gore for the global warming that he brought us this week. And we'll start out, as always, with This Week in History. Keep in mind, anytime you want to call in, if you're not already on the phone line, you can dial 858-683-1326, 858-683-1326. And if you're already on the phone line, just press the number one key. and we'll know that you want to be on the air. So, this week in history, the Magna Carta signed, hard to believe this was 799 years ago, but the Magna Carta signed this week in 1215. Of course, this week was Father's Day, the annual holiday where we honor our fathers, and very thankful that although he's been very, very bad health and in and out of hospitals, that my 82-year-old father is still with us, a decorated Korean War veteran, just still happy that he's hanging on. He's been a fighter and a survivor his whole life, and he's among the most politically incorrect people there are, and he doesn't talk a lot. He's not the big mouth that I am, but he's a constitutionalist nonetheless and a Korean War veteran. Celebrating him on Father's Day this week. We have the Bunker Hill Battle this week in 1775, actually on this day in 1775, so that's going back 239 years ago. And finally, the one I want to elaborate on a little bit, this week in 1878, the Posse Comitatus Act becomes law. For those of you all who may not be familiar with Posse Comitatus, we'll talk about that for a moment. Signed, this is not a new thing, folks. This wasn't signed in 1978. It was signed in 1878. And it basically was passed at the end of the Reconstruction, quote-unquote. And its intent was to limit the federal government's powers in how they like to use military personnel to enforce state laws. And this can take us all the way up to the modern-day drones, if you will. But the act, as modified back in 1981, referred to the armed forces of the United States. Notice they did not say anything about the National Guard at that point. The United States Coast Guard, which operates under the good old Department of Homeland Security, the farce that it is also not covered by the Posse Comitatus Act. As you know, the Coast Guard has both a maritime law enforcement mission and a federal regulatory agency mission. So here's a little history on your Posse Comitatus Act. The act itself was a response to and subsequent prohibition of the military occupation by United States Army troops of our former Confederate states during the 10 years after the War of Northern Aggression, or the War Between the States. I'm not going to call it the Civil War because it wasn't a civil war. I'll say it again, as I've said before, civil wars fought over a particular capital, and the South had no way in hell any intentions of doing anything with Washington, D.C. But the president withdrew federal troops from southern states as a result of a compromise in one of the most disputed national elections in national history, and that was the election of 1876. In 1876, you had Samuel Tilden of New York was a Democrat candidate, and he defeated a guy you probably are more familiar with, Rutherford B. Hayes, Republican of Ohio, in the popular vote. However, Tilden garnered 184 electoral votes to Hayes' 165, and you had 20 disputed electoral votes that were uncounted. 20 disputed electoral votes that were uncounted. So basically, if all 20 went to Hayes, he would have won the election, and if 19 of them went to Hayes, it would have been a tie. And you had a bitter, bitter fight where Congress ultimately struck a deal resolving it, and it gave the presidency to Rutherford B. Hayes. That's why many of you have never heard of Samuel J. Tilden. Not a very well-known man in the indoctrination camps called public schools, Mr. Samuel Tilden, because he didn't win that election, quote-unquote. Referee Hayes was given that election, for people who want to talk about people given an election. And during the local, state, and federal elections of 1874 and 1876 in the former Confederate states, you had all levels of government choosing not to exercise their police powers to maintain law and order. Many acts of violence and suppression of the vote of some political and racial groups resulted in the election of state legislators and U.S. congressmen who halted and reversed political reform in the American South. And when the U.S. representatives and senators from the former Confederate states reached Washington, D.C., they set as a priority the creation of a statute that would prohibit any future president or Congress from imposing federal troops in any U.S. state. And, of course, you had the exception to the Posse Comitatus Act derived from the Enforcement Acts, which allowed President Eisenhower to send federal troops into Little Rock, Arkansas, during the desegregation crisis, quote-unquote. You see, the original Posse Comitatus Act referred essentially to the United States Army. The U.S. Air Force was added in 1956, and the U.S. Navy and Marine Corps have been included by regulation of the Department of Defense. But a lot of strange things have happened since that time when it comes to violation of the Posse Comitatus Act, hasn't it? A lot of things have happened since then. We have military forces in the streets. We have them going into cities, supposedly helping with natural disasters. We saw what happened in New Orleans when they decided we'll go in and we'll take everybody's guns away from them. We'll go door to door in these parishes of New Orleans and take guns away from people. Many people in government today think it's their right and their duty and their responsibility to take your rights away from you. If they consider their right and duty, however perverted this is, to take away your rights. And we had this quote-unquote war on terrorism come along. It was pretty much throw the Posse Comitatus Act out the window. We have a U.S. military that assaults U.S. citizens. I think that would say it's destroyed as far as the Posse Comitatus Act goes. Maybe you remember about 8 years ago, fast forward to modern days, where the kids will remember it because it happened in their lifetime, so it actually existed in their little shallow, feeble, self-centered minds. But in the early 2006 Congress, they passed H.R. 5122, and it granted the president the right to commandeer federal and state National Guard troops for use against citizens. Yeah, I'm shocked that CNN and MSNBC and FAUX, as you call them, Fox News and Newsweek and Time Magazine, I'm shocked that they didn't tell you about this. But look it up, H.R. 5122. It allows the president to, quote, employ the armed forces to restore public order when an incident or other condition in any state or possessed the United States, where the president determines that domestic violence has occurred to such an extent that the constituted authorities of the state or possession are incapable of maintaining public order. And that was their attempt, their pathetic attempt to nullify the Posse Comitatus Act and basically give the president the ability to declare martial law under any condition he chooses. So you go back to 1982, and there was a FEMA memo back in 1982 by John Brinkerhoff, who had written to the FEMA agency director, Louis Gifreda, and they noted that martial law, quote, suspends all prior existing laws, functions, systems, and programs of civil government, replacing them with a military system. And the elimination of these basic rights started all the way back in 1971, folks, when the Deputy Secretary of Defense, David Packard, modified the Code of Federal Regulations. One must recognize that through two world wars, their quote-unquote civil war, and 100 years of U.S. history, not one damn administration had tried to screw around with the Posse Comitatus Act until the 1970s. It had stood for nearly 200 years. Why did they want to get us into martial law at the drop of a hat? And this could have been under Clinton. This could have been under Poppy Bush. This could have been under George W. Bush or under the current President Obama. It doesn't matter. You can go back. And again, they started trying to cut into these rights, the Posse Comitatus Act in the 1970s. And at the very least, you can say that the last four presidents have definitely been trying to do away with it. Bush, Clinton, Bush, and Obama. Look it up. Do some research. What about the concentration camps that we're not supposed to talk about? What about the camps that are being built that Jesse Ventura took his TV show to, and they so did not want him to look at these camps, and they so did not want anybody to know what's going on, that the federal government forced any copies of that program to be removed from DVRs. But you see, in February of 2006, in a speech to, you guessed it, the Council on Foreign Relations, Defense Secretary at the time, Donald Rumsfeld, spoke of the harm being done to the country's security by what he called, quote, news informers who need to be combated in a, quote, contest of wills. Four years prior to that, you had Attorney General John Ashcroft, who so many of these quote-unquote Christian neocons went orgasmic over. John Ashcroft was their man. Oh, he sang in a gospel group, and he was their man. But John Ashcroft announced his desire to see camps for U.S. citizens deemed to be enemy combatants. U.S. concentration camps, folks. The situation in the United States is already extraordinarily out of control. The current situation that we're in, we always hear about how terrible everything is around the world and how we got to go help everybody around the world. But what about the fact right here in the United States, we have more people in jail, prison, and on probation than the rest of the world combined? The raw, refutable fact is that the U.S. is illegally and with extreme violence invading other nations across the world. There are but two factors that on their own dictate an immediate firing of all politicians, judges, and persons involved. When one learns that these criminals have set it up so that they can immediately abolish the Constitution and set up military tribunals under the Patriot Act, where anybody they accuse does not even have any right to prove themselves innocent. Remember, it used to be they had to prove you guilty, but now they want to have these tribunals that will replace your Constitution. This is why the government idiots are very active. Because they know they can do whatever the hell they want. They know that the citizens are too lazy, too dumb, too asleep. You know, we hear about the IRS. It's all in the news lately about how the IRS loses documents and they lie to you about computer programs and all that. But what would happen if they came to your house? The IRS did, and you told them that you didn't have documents that they wanted, and you told them that, oh, they got destroyed on the computer or they got wiped out. How much patience do you think they would have with you? I think you know the answer. They wouldn't have any patience with you at all. The IRS claims to have lost over 2 years of the learner emails. 2 years of the learner emails. They say that all Lois Lerner's emails from January 2009 to April 2011 are gone. That supposed computer crash. They claim they can't produce the emails written only to or from Lerner and from outside agencies or groups such as the White House, the Treasury, the Department of Justice, the FEC, or Democrat offices. Surprise, surprise. Folks, they took down a president and Richard Milhouse Nixon over a burglary of a hotel room. And whether you like Nixon or don't like him, I'm not particularly a fan. He wasn't really a big fan of patriotism or liberty himself. He thought if you were a patriot, you do what the government told you, just like most other politicians think. But whether you like him or dislike him, they took him down over someone who burglarized their hotel room. And we have an administration who says they have lost or had destroyed 2 years of important government emails. Maybe they should call over to the NSA. The NSA should have a spare copy, right? Because they have a copy of all of our emails. Maybe it's like the way the FDA said they lost the petition to label genetically modified foods. What else is lost? Remember, they tell us not to lose our income tax returns. Maybe Edward Snowden has copies. Clearly, plenty of commentators have noted the absurdity of this excuse. But you have to admit, it will be massively impressive that if it shows out in the end that the computers worldwide, including in all these computer server farms, had any copies of this, including backups and backup tapes, it is actually destroyed. This is why it's like something out of a science fiction movie script. It would take a monumental effort if they had managed to do it. Bravo, amazing feat. But they didn't. They just happened to find incriminating evidence in the emails that they did not dare let see the light of day. We know that there were hard copies per earlier IRS testimony. Plus, there are backups upon backups and archive backups. No mere computer glitch kills 2 years of emails. I've worked in internet and computers and IT for a long time, folks. This is BS. Anyone remotely familiar with IT knows that the whole dog ate my emails excuse is complete and utter bullshit. But then again, when the top two law enforcement officers in the nation are both demonstrably criminals and the entire IRS fiasco is carried out rigging national elections, good luck getting any prosecution out of this group. There are daily, weekly, monthly backups of all data out there, folks. Come on. There are 20 copies of everything in storage. Obama wanted to point out corruption in the government of Ukraine and approved of the coup which toppled their election, but yet these hypocrites continue to pile up loads and loads of dirty laundry for the world to see. We know they're not going to go anywhere. Like I said, it doesn't matter what you thought of different presidents. This isn't a partisan or nonpartisan or bipartisan thing. It's all-inclusive partisanship because Richard Nixon resigned over a burglary of a hotel. We know Bill Clinton refused to step down over his constant lying under oath. Of course, these idiots tell you that there's not a smidgen of corruption, which was to slap Miss Lerner on the wrist and move on. The only reason I can think of that these emails would go missing is because, once again, there's stuff inside them that's incriminating to high-level officials. Computer crashes don't cause emails to be lost. These were subpoenaed documents. You need to have obstruction of justice charges against this quote-unquote administration. But I'm not going to jump on a bandwagon of impeachment because, again, what will you get out of it? You'll get President Joe Biden, who the establishment political is already saying is moving up on his chances of running for president. How scary is that? The only hope you would have is if you could impeach the president, the vice president, the secretary of state, or you could go down through the presidential succession list. Yeah, I'll pull up the secessionist here. Not secession. We're not talking about secession, but the line of succession. And make sure I say it clearly on the radio. So here's the bottom line. You impeach President Obama, you'd have President Biden. You somehow impeach President Obama and Biden, and I guess a lot of neocons would be happy, because then Speaker John Boehner would become president. You'd have to keep going way down the list to get anything productive out of this. Well, we can hope that, and we will jump into the fiasco in the U.S. House after we do our bottom of the hour break. I guess we could hope that we would get a new House Speaker and we would get, especially in lieu of what happened, where Cantor took his beating, took his outright ass whooping in the elections, we can hope that we'll have new House leadership. And then I guess I would say I'd be okay with impeaching President Obama, Vice President Biden. Because if you can impeach both of them after you get better House leadership, then we might be getting somewhere. But time is not on your side in this matter, folks. Remember, this is a president who's going to leave office in 2.5 years. Unfortunately, we do have 2.5 more years of him. But he's going to leave office in 2.5 years. And when he leaves office, and Biden leaves office, who's going to come in behind him? So we will talk a little bit of the Rebel Alliance, which are those guys who dare stand up to the neocon, quote-unquote, leadership. We'll go straight to the Breitbart story that just got put out today, this afternoon, actually about a couple hours ago, tops, what they call the Rebel Alliance, meeting the members who are backing Raul Labrador over Kevin McCarthy. I'll give you a few words about Kevin McCarthy and a few words about the good people who are opposing him. You're listening to the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. Again, if you're in the queue and you want to talk to us, press the 1 key. If you're not yet in the queue and want to call in, 858-683-1326. And we'll be back. We'll be right back.
first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we welcome you back, ladies and gentlemen, to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. You are listening to your host, Dale the Truth. And we were talking about before the break, teasing the story of what they're calling the Rebel Alliance. Meet the House members who are backing Raul Labrador over Kevin McCarthy. And let's just say a couple words about Kevin McCarthy, first of all. Remember, Kevin McCarthy was in with the leadership guys like Boehner, Cantor, and about 20-some other Congress members. Back about, I guess it's going on 3 months ago, back in March, we talked about how they were flying to Amelia Island, and they were collaborating with a group of people who were dedicated to beating conservatives. They were collaborating with left-wingers who were dedicated to getting rid of patriotic, liberty-oriented Republicans. And that's something that people on Fox News didn't tell you about, or CNN, or MSNBC. But it was the Republican mainstream partnership, Main Street partnership, excuse me, and their offshoot, quote-unquote, Main Street advocacy that hosted this event at the Ritz-Carlton on Amelia Island. And you had Steve LaTourette, a liberal Republican, former congressman from Ohio. They seem to have a lot of those left-leaning, socialist-leaning Republicans in Ohio, don't they? And LaTourette is a good friend with John Boehner. And surprise, surprise, the people that attended this event donated big money to the Political Action Committee. Well, Kevin McCarthy was right there with them. Kevin McCarthy was one of their elite, their empire. And I can tell you about Kevin McCarthy because I can remember Kevin McCarthy when I was chairman of the Louisville Young Republicans. We called ourselves Jefferson County Young Republicans back then. And Kevin McCarthy at that time was being elected as chairman of the National Young Republicans. Yeah, this was before the guy who was the chairman who had to give up the chairmanship for sodomy and attempted rape, if you want to call it that, on other men. That was a different chairman of the National Young Republicans. That was after Kevin McCarthy. So Kevin McCarthy was one of the neocons, just to keep it in perspective here, who doesn't want liberty folks involved. And he's good buddies with the same kind of Republicans who want to keep us out of any kind of involvement in the Republican Party, us liberty folks. But now you have the Rebel Alliance. After Eric Cantor, again, as we mentioned earlier, got his ass handed to him in his primary election last week. And that was going on the night I did my show. I didn't know what was going on until after my show was over and I heard about it. But what a difference a week makes. Because Friday, Raul Labrador, Republican of Idaho, stepped up to the plate for a late entry challenge, however quixotic it may be, against Kevin McCarthy. And there have been several House members rallying behind Labrador against McCarthy. And I'll be honest, I knew very little about Labrador until our own Congressman Thomas Massey from the 4th District of Kentucky was telling me about how good Labrador was, and it even prompted me to go do my research, which I did. And it prompted me to add Labrador to my list of very few number of House members that I currently trust. It's an ever-changing list. The list stands at now 11 people that I trust in the U.S. House. And Labrador, from everything I've read, is one of those guys. And Thomas Massey cited a recent incident where Eric Cantor tried to sneak the costly Medicare doc fix bill through the bill, through the House. And that was passed by voice vote before most of the rank and file knew what the hell was happening. That's how they like to do things, in the middle of the night, in a rush, in a hurry. Thomas Massey tells us they were in recess and they jumped in the chair, and in 40 seconds they passed the bill that cost us $10 billion. And they knew they didn't have the votes for it. And Congressman Massey quickly and smartly called these tactics disingenuous and deceptive. And for many conservatives, this was another sign that the process is broken and that McCarthy is part of the problem. But you now have a rebel alliance of people backing Raul Labrador, and the second person to come back behind Labrador is another guy who's on my list of congressmen I trust, and that's Justin Amash, the young congressman from Michigan. Labrador was an easy choice for House Majority Leader, according to Amash. They were both elected in 2010. They quickly became friends. And Amash even opted to vote for Labrador in 2013 for Speaker of the House, if you can remember that incident. And, of course, after he did so, Amash was ousted from a panel he was on. And Labrador is trying to make a decision whether or not he's going to run. And, of course, McCarthy has approached several conservative members of Congress on the floor that day, and they asked them for their votes, including Labrador. But while McCarthy is meeting members face-to-face, Labrador demurred until his colleagues had left town. I don't know about that. That's what Breitbart is saying. But Amash and Massey are joining behind Labrador. And guess who else is joining with them? Tim Holtzkamp and Matt Salmon, congressmen from Kansas and Arizona. And yes, they also are on my list of congressmen we can trust. I see somebody who's waiting on the phone lines, another good friend of ours who we can trust. I believe our good friend Paul from Stop It is on the line. Paul, are you with us?
Hello. Is this a Star Wars analogy night? You keep talking about
well
a Rebel
be, Paul,
Alliance.
We're in the Rebel Alliance. Where stand you?
The Rebel Alliance, right out of the Star Wars scripts, you know. But, you know, the Star Wars scripts are not that far-fetched because just a quick reminder, our country was founded as a direct result of a rebel alliance, okay?
Yeah.
And your parallel, again, I find more than a little bit interesting because, Dale, and I've mentioned this on your show before, but I am a big fan of probably one of the least known battles of the American Revolutionary War, and that's the Battle of Kings Mountain. There's always parallels between what that particular battle and what's going on today. A lot of people think that that was a battle between the British and the revolutionaries. Well, the reality is that those were one group of Americans who swore allegiance to the British crown, much like we have those Americans who swear allegiance to Washington, D.C., fighting against a group that says, no way is the British crown or the seat of power, are they correct in determining what I can and cannot do. So we have a lot of parallels in that, and I might add that this Cantor thing might very well be an early warning indicator of what is to come. I know that a lot of conservatives who listen to your show get a little dejected sometimes at not seeing what they consider to be substantial progress in the fight of restoring our country to a constitutional republic, okay? I understand that, but what they've got to remember is that for about 3.5 years, even with old George Washington in charge, things didn't go well for the revolutionaries. It did not go well. There was not a lot of good news, and just like today, the government controlled a lot of the mainstream media, such that it was, okay? So, but the Battle of Kings Mountain down in the foothills of the Appalachians turned the tide, and Within about a year, that's when the British surrendered. They surrendered to the revolutionaries. So I'm hoping that these parallels stay true, and I'm hoping that the Cantor defeat is the beginning of a great set of victories for those of us who want to see a constitutional republic restored.
Well, Paul, remember, they didn't give Cantor's opponent, Dave Brat, any chance of winning, so I would like to think, unfortunately, now these representatives, quote-unquote, in Washington are the ones who choose their House leadership and their party leadership, and I don't trust them, not nearly as much as I trust the American people, because the people of Virginia were very smart in getting rid of Cantor, and he was out, I don't know how much Cantor outspent his opponent. I know I heard Ken Moman on the Sunday Night Show say a little bit, and I've heard Ken say this before, that if you get outspent 19-20-1, you can't win, and this guy was outspent like 30-1, and he still won.
Yeah,
so,
if
they don't think Raul Labrador has a chance, they said the same thing about Dave Brat winning, Paul.
Yeah, I think, depending on the source that you want to listen to, that Dave Brat got outspent 40-1,
wow.
Actually.
There were
two different numbers that were in use. There was the amount of money that he raised, and I think he was outraised 20-1, but when it came time to the actual expenses, he was outspent 40-1.
Well, these are the showdowns that I tell people that are important. I don't look nearly as much at general elections, because when you get to general elections, everybody's picked their side. We know how general elections go, especially in Kentucky, but more so for most of the country. When you get to general election, we know all the labor money will be behind the candidate with the D on their uniform, and all the big Wall Street money, for the most part, all the Main Street, if they want to call that money, is different, but all the K Street lobbyists will have their money backed in there. You'll have everybody who claims they're pro-life on the Republican side, anybody who claims they're pro-choice on the Democrat side, the gun groups on the Republican side, the feminist groups on the liberal left Democrat side. So that's not exciting. That's not very sexy to me. But these kind of fights that they're having in Congress, just like these primaries, are exciting. It's the same kind of thing that's going on with the primary for Senate, where we have that runoff. I think that runoff is next week, where we know that another one of Addison Jerome Mitchell McConnell's buddies is in trouble in the Senate primary, and that's good old Thad Cochran. You've been following that race a little bit, Paul?
I have been, and it's going to be interesting to see where that third party, where that third person's supporters, where they line up, because one of the concerns that I have about that situation is that while Cochran won the majority of the votes cast, it wasn't enough for a 50% margin. So that wasn't enough. However, a common tactic in political elections, particularly when an incumbent feels threatened, is to put in a sham candidate in an effort to siphon off the votes from the challenger. And the sham candidate very much has a platform similar to the challenger that they want to defeat. So I think this is a bit instructive, is that Cochran couldn't even win a three-way election. He could not get the majority of votes. And let's just say that the Republican Party did not put up this third person as a sham candidate. If those votes split 50-50, Cochran loses. He's out on his keister.
And that's a big, big deal if Cochran loses, because he's been neck and neck with the Tea Party as far as these things go. And we know that Mitch McConnell's put all his chips in behind Cochran. And one of my political heroes, Dr. Ron Paul, and I've been a fan of Ron Paul before most people knew who he was around these parts. And Ron Paul has put his support behind Cochran's opponent, of course. So it's going to be interesting, because special election, like you just said, if he couldn't win a three-way election, a three-way race, how is he going to win a two-way runoff? It's going to be interesting that Cochran is raking in a lot of fundraising for the runoff. I don't know if you heard some of this. He's been getting a lot of big left-wing money, and that doesn't surprise me. It won't make sense to the neocons who worship part of the establishment that tells them to worship, but Cochran just got some big money coming in. He got some big money from Michael Bloomberg. He got some big money in from Zuckerberg, one of the Nazi Zuckerberg's Facebook buddies who used to head up Facebook with him. And he's bringing in more money. According to the last 48-hour report reading this one that came in over the weekend, he has raised $370,000 in a short period of time, including big money like Richard Shelby of Alabama, Charles Grassley of Iowa, Hornan of Texas, basically big neocons, the left-wingers coming together. Doesn't this epitomize what I've said, that they'll work together to keep their uniparty together and not have anybody come in who's from this rebel alliance?
Well, they tried that with Cantor, and it didn't succeed. All right,
no.
And both of those parties are quite content to take an occasional loss, but if you really want to get them worried and you really want to get them sweating blood, get a series of these losses. Okay, I can remember, and you being a Kentuckian, there was a Democrat primary, Dale.
Yeah.
It was two or three people. And one of the candidates spent $1 million. He easily outspent all of his opponents, but he finished third. His name was Charlie Owen, I believe. Okay.
Oh yeah, well, Charlie Owen.
So the mere presence of a lot of money does not, in any shape, form, or fashion, guarantee a victory. Although with our current system, it sure enhances the opportunity to get a victory, but you still got to not be someone who has stepped on the toes of the electorate like Cantor did. Cantor stepped on the toes. He spit in the face of the people who got him elected.
Mm-hmm.
Cantor
he
got
did
what he deserved,
group
Dale.
Of people and the group of neocons have been out there for so long, it's easy for them to hold control. You would think it would be harder for them to lose control, but you look at McConnell. McConnell, his own ass is the only thing he can save up there. All his buddies, whether it be state races, House races, Senate races, all his buddies keep losing. And I can only tell people to go back to 2010, where he wanted his buddy Trey Grayson, Charles Merwin Grayson III. He wanted him to be the guy who was going to take over Bunning. Remember, McConnell's the one that bullied Jim Bunning. This was before where bullying was popular, I guess, in the media. McConnell bullied Bunning to step down, trying to tell Bunning how he was too old and inept and incompetent. And he wanted his buddy Grayson to get in. And Grayson got his backside handed to him by then unknown Rand Paul, unknown to most people around here, not to me. And then what happened with McConnell's other buddies? Well, look what happened with his next buddy. His other buddies were people like David Williams. And look what happened with him and Richie Farmer. And then you look at Indiana, what happened with his buddy Dick Lugar. And now look
Dick
at what
Lugar.
Happened.
Dick Lugar, oh, yeah.
Yeah, now you look at what happened there, Cantor and Thad Cochran.
Yeah, the Dick Lugar thing,
Prince
I think.
Can't win elections. His own seat's all he seems to be able to save, Paul.
Well, the Dick Lugar thing, again, was an individual who clearly, up until the last few weeks of his general election, was actually singing the right song. But then I think that guy who beat Lugar, I think he started believing the crap that the national party was telling him, the Washington insiders, and he became emboldened and changed his message a little bit enough to swing the election to Joe Donnelly, the Democrat, who ultimately got elected. But your point was the Beltway, inside the Beltway people want to control these state races and the state candidates.
Yeah.
Okay. And every time that they do, I have to wonder, are they intentionally trying to sabotage the Rebel Alliance? Because in the process, they do hurt themselves. Or are they just that freaking stupid?
Yeah, they don't believe they should ever have any opposition. Like you just said, Cantor spit in the face of the voters, and they resort to these fear tactics. And again, you see it with the neocons around this state. I see them on the social networks. They want you to vote for their guy, and their guy is so bad that he even got a primary opponent, which we saw with McConnell. Someone like Bevin finally stepped up and said, all right, that's enough of that. Someone's got to run against this guy, a legitimate candidate. So first of all, how dare you run against him? And then if you start getting support, well, how dare you get support? They can't ever see anything wrong with their candidate. Their delusions of grandeur, if you tell them that they have delusions of grandeur, they'll say, but we are grand. And that's the problem. They don't think you should ever oppose them, and if you do oppose them and they barely hold on and beat you, well, then you better support them in November, and they're so bad that they'll lose in November, and that's kind of like the David Williams syndrome, because I have no doubt that Phil Moffitt would have done better in November. Now, a lot of people would have said to me, well, why couldn't Phil Moffitt win the primary then? Well, like you just said, Paul, they had their third dog in a race. They had Bobby Coleslaw in there to distract from people. They put the Coleslaw in the mix and soured the whole thing. And Bobby
Absolutely.
In the race, you tell me if I'm wrong, she was in the race to help save David Williams.
Yeah, because she actually swung the vote in Jefferson County, the largest voting block in Kentucky. She actually swung that in favor of David Williams and at great expense to Moffitt. So, no, I agree with that. I agree. And I think
so
that's what they did.
They're doing it in U.S. Congress, Paul. And like I just said before I brought you on air on the live show here, listen to the TNT radio show, folks, on the My View Matters radio network. I was just talking about this Rebel Alliance, and what's funny, I didn't know a lot about Raul Labrador of Idaho. I figured he's a Republican in Idaho. He can't be too bad because they're a little bit more liberty-oriented up there. And I didn't know him at all. And Thomas Massey told me that we should consider him, and I started researching him. And lo and behold, I added him to my short list of House Republicans I trust. And what do you know? I look out there, and look who's supporting him this week, Holzkamp, Salmon, and Massey. Those are all guys who are on my list. So if I got a list of all the 435 Congress critters, and I only trust 11 of them, and four of them are lined up behind this guy, that's a good sign. I mean, I don't know if he has a chance. We know it's uphill. But I figure if Justin Amash and Thomas Massey and Tim Holzkamp and Matt Salmon are all behind him, he can't be too bad, especially if he's got the establishment like Boehner and McCarthy on the other side.
Again, I like the people of Virginia, and Kentucky at one time was part of Virginia. At one time. So hopefully the common sense of Virginians in turning Eric Cantor out will spread westward and influence several other elections yet to be held. So I'm hopeful, Dale. I'm hopeful this is an early warning indicator.
Yeah, like I said, I wasn't a big fan of anything Kevin McCarthy's done. I remember this guy when he ran the National Young Republicans, and I just wanted to clarify, he was the guy before the guy who ran the Young Republicans who got indicted on sodomy charges. I don't want to get him confused with that guy. You got to keep your corrupt Republican neocons straight here again and have a scorecard for them. But again, we can only look at the words of Thomas Jefferson, Paul. Thomas Jefferson said, A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, and that's what we've been saying all along, you shouldn't be hurting other people and taking their stuff. And Thomas Jefferson said, if you have that wise and frugal government, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvements, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned, this is the sum of good government. And this is necessary to close the circle of our felicities. And I think this is the truth. The textbooks don't tell you what's going on out there. As Paul and I were talking about, the Star Wars analogies are very close to reality because we have this Rebel Alliance. We hope the Rebel Alliance does well. We know they're up against a logjam of trying to do anything productive because of all the votes that will be against them. We know that McCarthy's and those guys are going to be using their new brand of McCarthyism, we'll call it, to stiff-arm them, but they're standing up for you and I. They're standing up for the establishment, for the uniparty. There's a reason that McCarthy has money coming in from people like Michael Bloomberg and the Facebook founders. There is a reason that left-wing groups and neocon groups are coming together to try to hold that seat. It's like I said, anytime you have an election, there's not a Democrat, then what's the problem? Why don't the Democrats stay out of that race if there's a third-party candidate or back to third-party candidate either? Same thing with flipped. If there's a Republican that's not in a race and it's just a Democrat, they'll never stand against each other because they're too worried about letting somebody into their gangland territory. When all you have on one side is the red, the bloods, and the other side the blue, the crips, and you have your two big gangs, and the two big gangs run everything in the turf wars, they don't want somebody else coming in and getting part of the turf war. We just think that you should stay away from the gangs. We think you should just say no to the uniparty and stand with folks like the Rebel Alliance. You might get some of your liberties back. You might be able to stand up in the end. It's a death to the New World Order. We appreciate you listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. Have a good night, folks.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.